Hey guys, we try to keep the Chicks in Charge free for everybody. The one thing that we do ask though is that if you get any value out of our episodes or any of the content that we produce on social media, please share with a friend, share the show, please leave a rating for future listeners, and that way we can try to keep this free of ads and any subscription costs that you might have.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Chicks in Charge Automotive Edition. I am Jess.
I'm Shasta.
And our guest of honor today is the one and only VP of Service Operations at Cavender Auto Group, Allie Peters. Hi, Allie. How are you today?
Hey, guys. I'm good. How are y'all?
We're doing so good. I'm so excited for you to join us. You are one of the few guests that we have not had the pleasure of actually officially shaking hands and meeting in person.
We were
in the same room at NADA when we did not get the opportunity to meet, but I'm so excited to have you here with us today. Your story is so impressive. And holy crap, you are a woman VP of service operations of 8 stores. That's amazing. Wow. That's huge. Tell us how you got there.
Yeah. So it has been a road that we have traveled, but it's been a really fun road. I guess the Cliff Notes version is I started as a service advisor out of college, and I just had this conversation with my very first manager about a week ago, and he said, "Do you remember when you told me that you were going to take my job?" What do you mean? What do you mean? He said, "You sat in the interview and I asked you, where do you see yourself in 10 years? And you said, what's the highest that I can be in the store as a general manager?" And I said, "Okay, well, that's what I'm going to be in 10
years." Nice.
So now I look back and I know that I always wanted to grow. I've always been really competitive with myself and I've always liked to achieve things and then find what was the next step for that. And so started as a service advisor, moved into management. Like we discussed briefly, I did about a year opening up a fixed ops BDC, sold cars for about 6 months. And then my heart was truly just in fixed. So then service manager, service director, fixed ops director, and now here, VP.
So, that is huge. That's so exciting. You know, it's hard for us to find women in the dealership a lot of times in general, but to find a woman in the dealership, in the service department, and as high up as you are mm-hmm. is amazing. And we are so proud of you.
Yeah.
It's
you're a shining light to any woman in this industry that, and you're so young that you can do it and still be as young as you are and imagine the future for you. Like, is there a P of service operations or are you the top?
So right now I report directly to the COO, but yeah, who knows what the future holds? So So I do have a partner who's the VP of parts and he's a little bit older than I am. And so we always talk about his retirement and it's still very far in the future. But I say, okay, you've got that much time to teach me parts because when you retire, I'm going to take over parts. And also, hey, by the way, I'm going to take over the collision center and I'm going to have a full piece of the fixed ops spot. Like this is my, so again, I love what I do. I'm present in the moment. We're working really hard to enjoy now and to be successful now. But I also, yeah, I still have decades left in my career. So it just make the teams that I have the best versions that they could be, help them learn how to make their bench strong. And then that way it gives us opportunities to grow, expand, and for me to be able to do whatever the future holds when that day comes.
I love that. And you had mentioned that, you know, whenever you did your brief stint in sales, it was a little bit of a harder transition than whenever you moved over as a service advisor. Can you talk to us a little bit about that transition? What was the difference between the two?
Yeah. So I think a few things were at play. One of the items, and this is not a secret, the world has heard me say this, but I'm not really a car person. So as far as the passion behind the product I was selling, it really wasn't there. I was there to help facilitate a transaction where other people I have seen get really excited with that customer and they're all in and they're doing all of That wasn't me. So I enjoyed the opportunity to help someone. But what I found that I really missed on the service side was people are excited to come in and buy a car most of the time. And so I felt almost like a cog in the machine, so to speak, that if I wasn't there that day, if I was out for some reason, that car would have been sold anyway. It was right. That. But when it came to service, I sincerely felt like, yes, there was a transaction happening as far as repairing a car, maintaining a car. But what I felt really drove me was how I could be, and like I mentioned, shoulder to shoulder with that customer and say, okay, you're having a really bad day. This is really inconvenient. This was not planned. You are prepared for this. But let me help walk with you through this situation to get out on the other side. And ultimately, if I do my job right, you look back and go, man, that really stunk that that happened. However, I'm glad I had Allie to help me through it.
Right.
And then I also had just incredible resources and support on my technician team. I had experts that I really could say that to the customer too, was I don't know what's wrong, but so-and-so in the back does. Let's go get him and let's talk with him. And so I kind of got to be like a tour guide through life of on the service side.
Are you the only woman in your service department or are there others?
So I love this question because had you asked me a while back, it would have been different. But now I can say we have our service director at the Jaguar Land Rover store is That's a female. Amazing. Our service lane manager at Cadillac as of April 1st is a female. And our service lane manager at our Nissan store, Rockwall, is a female. So our management team is growing and ladies.
That is wonderful. That is so something to celebrate. Mm-hmm. That is amazing. Yeah.
Absolutely. It's so much fun. I mean, that's the thing. It's just a blast.
Did you have anything to do with that? Or did that just kind of happen organically?
I mean, that's right. Both, I guess. I will say, so the one that I really can say I had a hand in is our service director at JLR. So she is incredible. She's actually there-ish. Somewhere back there. She what started when I was a service manager at my last group, she started while she was in college as a cashier, receptionist, BDC. Then she made the move to advisor. And then when I had the opportunity to become the fixed ops director at JLR with the group I'm with now, she was able to come over and I asked her to come and she became the lane manager for me. So then when I was able to move to this role, she was able to move into director. So we worked together for a long time. Now I will say the other two, I don't have as much of a hand as far as history goes. They are capable. They are prepared. They're the right people. And so it just made sense when the opportunities came and we got to promote from within, which we love to do here too. But yeah, so I guess, you know, I approved it, but they're rock stars. All three of them are rock stars on their own and they earn the opportunity to come and join the team.
I think that's really cool. And in a sense, you've kind of blazed that trail for them.
Yeah.
And that's really neat for you to be. And I don't know if you've thought about that yet, but from my perspective, I'm like, holy crap, Allie, you've done this. Like you may not have grabbed their hands and pulled them up or actually signed the papers to have them hired, but just you being in your position and proving that a woman can do this and a woman can excel at this. And there's nothing that a man can do that you can't do, Allie, in the service department is the reason why your leaders above you are even considering bringing other women into the service department. And that's amazing. That makes you a trailblazer and congratulations to you.
Thank you. Thanks. That was a wonderful moment.
So knowing that you like to promote from within, is there any sort of different process that you have? And it's kind of hard to dance around this by not sounding discriminatory, but when you're hiring to ensure that you're getting enough pool and also interesting women out there to even come be a part of the service.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's a great question. And to your point, it can be tricky, I guess, to navigate because ultimately at the end of the day, I am all about ladies in leadership, ladies in the service department, ladies in the industry. But I also try to really catch myself and make sure that it's that idea of the right person for the right position.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I do still feel that I think I have more leg in that side if I had to say I'm straddling the line because I'm all about it, but I'm not going to put a woman into a spot when just to say woohoo, we did it. Right.
Right.
So, but it does feel very tricky. And so I think that it's one of those things that what we talked about right now, there's not a huge pool for women to just start initially. Mm-hmm. So the people who've come in and the people who have been persistent, the people who have found a passion, I think the ladies that stay in long enough that they know that they enjoy it, then that's a no-brainer when they're the right person for the next step. But to get them in and then to get them to stay, that is something that we're still working on. And a passion of mine is building teams like we talked about and creating a culture where people not only want to be there, but they want to bring their friends. So y'all have, you may have heard me talk about this in the past, but some of my favorite wins is when we get to look at the staff that we've brought in to any one of our departments. And we recognize that the reason that that person came is because someone that works there wanted their friend to come and join them. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's step one to me of winning as far as building teams and culture. But then it's that next level of, okay, so we have this great place to work. We have a great place to work so much that we actually want people that we hang out with outside of work to come and hang out with us at work.
Yep. Right.
But now, if we're just ripple effecting of, this is my friend, this friend is like me, so they're going to come, but now we're just sort of duplicating right. that. It's still, how do you go out and find it? And so for us, a lot of it is giving empowerment to our support staff, because we feel, or I feel, that when you look at our support team, there's more women than there are men. And I think a lot of people feel that in the past, there was a ceiling of the what ladies could do. And so for me, what I really like to do is find ways to empower our team to understand what the roles are. And if they're interested in that, giving them the opportunity to swing over. So they right. might have come in as a receptionist or might have come in as loan car concierge, because sometime, somewhere, someone said that might be a good idea. But now that they're here, let's expose anyone on that team and say, hey, is this something you'd be interested in? Because that's really where the growth happens.
So we had a dealer, I think it was last week, that called us for BDC services. And he was one of the first dealers that I've ever heard do this, because whenever we're talking to him and we're like, what is your plan with your current BDC? Are you, some dealers are like, I'm done with them. I'm going to scrap them all. We're firing them. We're bringing you guys in right away. Like whatever the case is, what are you doing? What is your plan? And he said, well, I saw this coming from about a mile away. I knew I was going to outsource. He said, so what I did was I did some preliminary meetings with my team, and without telling them that I was going to shut down the BDC, I did more of an interview to see where they would best fit. You know, do they want to be anywhere else in the dealership? Do they have any desire to learn anything new or different? And I thought that was really, really cool, because now instead of having to fire four of his agents, he only let go of, I think three, or I think he only let go of one, and then he kept the other three.
That's
that
great.
Really showed initiative and really wanted to learn other things inside of the store. And that was really great, because it is sad sometimes. As an outsourced BDC, we also have to remember we're costing other people their jobs, right? And that's not a good feeling to have, to know like, okay, I'm going to sell this guy on our services, but this means that 10 other people are without jobs today.
Right.
It was really, really cool that he was thinking ahead and he had those meetings with his team before he ever even contacted us. He had a plan for his people. Mm-hmm. And it's so important, mm-hmm. because just because you have that receptionist doesn't mean she just wants to be a receptionist for the rest of her life.
Yep. Right. Yeah, we're doing something very similar. We're so we have 8 stores. We're piloting a program with 2 of our stores starting in May. And it does, the pilot essentially flips our point of contact to someone who's outsourced versus mm-hmm. someone who's internal. And we had that conversation was, this is not with a goal to remove you from being
right.
This is to supplement what you're doing with the software and potentially streamline it so that we can use your strengths in other areas that we can't use now because you're busy doing this paperwork. So, yeah, it is. It's definitely always something to kind of navigate through of people. But again, that's why I do what I like to do is the people part. People will surprise you. And that's the fun part.
So you were asked the question in your original interview, where do you see yourself in 10 years? So now I'm going to ask you right now, it's 2024. Where do you see yourself in 10 years?
Okay, so
you're already the VP of Service Ops. Like,
I am.
You're already like, holy crap. So now what's next for you? Where are you going next? I know you want to take over the part side and all of that whenever he is ready to retire or whatever he's doing, but where do you truly see yourself? What do you see yourself doing?
Okay, so this is where my head is at, and obviously there's some flexibility as we go, but he won't be retired in 10 years, so I still see that my silo of service. I do hope that by 10 years from now, the Collision Center is under my umbrella as well. That's so that is a personal goal. A company goal we have is to have expanded. So I hope to have more than 8 stores that I'm responsible for. And even potentially, I mean, 10 years is a long time. So I do believe that there would be a certain breaking point where we may get large enough that we would need to have almost like 2 regions. And so it could be that I had a service director and a service director. And so almost like we're still growing that family tree. So that might be something maybe. But on halfway personal and halfway work, I have a bucket list item. Is I'd like to speak at NADA. I'd love to be an NADA speaker. So that's hopefully in the next 10 years I can do that. And also, and I don't know that it's 10 years in the making. It might be longer, but I would like to write a book.
Ooh, that's awesome.
So that's where I'm at. So yeah, I think that I have finally reached a place in my professional life that I am sincerely content, which is such a cool feeling because I'm not content in the sense of, oh, I found what I want. I'm going to stick up my feet and I'm just going to let things go because I don't operate that way. My brain doesn't even. I don't think my brain's capable of that. And so I want to continually grow within it, but I'm finally at the place that I've worked my career for, because I did think I wanted to be a GM and then I had an opportunity to be a GM and I had sold cars and I didn't like sales as much. And so I wanted to really go down this VP path and make service and ultimately eventually fix ops the core of my life. And I didn't really want to have to worry about selling cars to just,
right.
Selling cars. They right. can keep that. So, yeah. It isn't firm and solid. It's still a little blurry as to what the next 10 years looks like, but it's
fair. It's not supposed to be black and white, right?
Right. Like,
there's supposed to be some question in there. Mm-hmm. So we know so much about you and what you do with Cavender and in the service department, but Allie, what do you do in your free time?
So this is a perfect question because I don't actually have a good answer. I had a birthday 3 weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago, and we went out to lunch with the executive management team. And someone asked me that. They said, what's the best part of this last year? And I said, it was being promoted to VP. And they said, awesome. What about in your personal life? I'm like, I don't really have a personal life.
Like, doesn't it all just like blend together at some point? It
does. So my sweet husband runs his own business and I do this. And so we both have very active minds as to how to make what we're doing better. And so we haven't been perfect at being able to turn our brains off and when we're not at work or in work mode. So that is a commitment that I have made for my 36th year of life, is to find a hobby and do something outside of work. I will say I have some friends and some family that we like to spend time with. That I went to a 4-year-old soccer game the other day. I went to the horseback riding ranch with my 11-year-old cousin. I mean, so there are some fun things there, but I don't really, I can't answer that with confidence.
That's okay.
I was thinking about learning how to cook, but I don't really like doing that. So that's probably not going to work. I was thinking about learning how to code because in my brain, I'm like, oh, this report would be so cool. What if I could do it? But I don't have
big jump.
So I don't think that so we're going to see. We'll see. We'll have That's to do great. One in a year and I'll tell you what I...
Yes, that would be awesome. I love that.
If you do the learning how to cook,
can you clue me in? Into those
clue me in on what you do because I... Listen, okay, this is a true story. Nobody heard the story yet. So last night, this is last night, literally last night.
I haven't heard this story.
So I get home. So in our house, we divide the chores between my husband and I, right? Mm-hmm. So I generally take care of all the laundry and kind of keeping things straightened up. And his one thing he has to do is just dinner. That's it. Mm-hmm. I don't want to cook. He's okay at it. He still doesn't want to do it, but he's better at it than I am. So he was working late last night, so I had to make dinner. And
this does not end well.
We've exhausted all of our kind of normal recipes. Like, we're just getting burnt out on it. And I'm like, we don't have a whole lot. Like, I'm going to just throw something together. Right. So we had set out chicken breasts. And so I grab barbecue sauce, brown sugar, lime juice, and breadcrumbs. Why breadcrumbs? I don't know. I just grab stuff. And so I just throw all this together and throw the chicken in the air fryer. And I tell the kids, listen, if this doesn't taste good, understand we're going to McDonald's. Like, I don't have the energy to fix this if it tastes like crap. So I'm like, crap, something else has to go with the chicken. And so I found, I'm pretty sure they've been in our cabinet for a year. I found two packages of Rice-A-Roni, like chicken flavor. And I'm like, all right, that's what we're having with it. So I make this chicken in the air fryer, temp it, make sure it's good, which 6 months ago, I don't think I knew how to do.
I would say you're already further ahead than me.
Yeah. Well, we luckily have a meat thermometer. So I temped it, make sure it was cooked. And then I cut up the chicken and put it in this rice. I was surprised. It was okay. It was okay. It wasn't awful.
I truly expected you to like start a fire in your air fryer.
No. I'm good with the air fryer. It's the lazy person's way of cooking because I now make all of my pizza rolls in my air fryer. That was a game changer.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Game
changer. You have all the appliances and very similar to you. So the rule in our house is whoever cooks, the other one cleans.
Mm-hmm.
I wish that
were. I am the best dishwasher in the entire world. My husband is an incredible cook, and he grew up, like, a lot of kids were home alone when they were growing up, so they learned how to make some food, you know, for themselves. So then that, over time, has evolved, and he's wonderful. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's painful for me to cook. Like, I just feel I'm so bored, and I used to dread it. Now I'm getting better, but I can do 5 things. I can make Thanksgiving turkey.
Oh, that's kind of a big deal.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
Yep. I can make enchiladas, and I'm very proud of those.
Okay.
I can do chicken spaghetti. I can do breakfast casserole and pumpkin pie. So if you need one of those, I'm your girl.
All right. But
to your point, I can't make that every day, or that would get a little exhausting. Okay. So, right now I'm at level, maybe I'm going to be a cook for a hobby, and all I'm seeing are the videos where it's take these frozen vegetables, some soup, some chicken, throw it in a pan. I could do that.
Yeah,
I don't know if that counts as cooking yet.
That's so funny. So we're all pretty close to the same age. So, like, let's be honest, growing up, our moms, it seemed like, always made a big meal for dinner.
Oh my God. Every night it seemed like
five-course meal.
If my mom cooked, it was a 5-course meal.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we were getting McDonald's.
Yeah.
Swear, or pizza.
I swear. So, like, looking back and how we were prepared for this, I'm like, it is one meal that is only going to be with me for a few hours. Like, when does it need to take that amount of time to cook it and prepare it? Like,
now, my grandmother cooked 5-course meals every meal of the day. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Like, and it never, like, I don't, still to this day, I don't think she eats out. Like, ever. Not one day.
Oh, my gosh.
She does not eat out. She cooks herself food. Even after my grandfather died, she still made full meals for only herself, breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know how she did it, but
see, like,
I'm not that mom.
I have nights where I tell the kids, my kids are both almost teenagers, 12 and 13. And I tell them, I'm like, it's a fend for yourself night. You look in the fridge, see what warms up easily.
That's my kids love cereal night. Like, oh, it's dude. Their favorite night is when I'm like, y'all want cereal for dinner tonight? It's like normally a game night, practice night, whatever. I'm like, you guys just want cereal? Like, yeah, cereal. I'm like, yes. And then we have another night that we call all of our favorite things. And it's like, they get to just go choose one healthy or one vegetable, one fruit, and one meat and one carb. And we just put it on their plates. It doesn't matter what it is. They just have to have the food groups.
Yeah.
And we're good.
They can choose whatever they want.
And it just makes I cook a lot. I cook dinner a lot, but some nights I don't have it in me. Like, I'm not doing it tonight.
I can't even. I mean, it is. It's just my husband and I. We don't have kids, so it is the two of us. So when he makes food, I mean, and we do like Well, he does for me. He makes me food, but we'll do like burgers and brats. Yeah. He likes to grill. And then, I mean, really, it's just, and he makes really wonderful steak. But to your point, we do a lot of on our own nights because the business that he runs is seasonal. So there are like 8 to 10 weeks at a time that he works in the evening. Mm. And then there's about 8 weeks where he doesn't have evening work. So a lot of those nights when he's in season, it's, you know, just on our own nights. And I just learned how to make a hot dog in the microwave and it is
and it works. There you go. So you said that your husband was a favorite.
I've had hot dog for dinner the last 2 nights and they've been
It worked. You're not passing out, are you?
30 seconds.
You're good.
It tastes good.
Yeah, there you go. So your husband's an entrepreneur. You're the VP of service ops. You both have very highly demanding jobs. How do you guys make it work?
Well, we're still working on it. No, the cool thing is that we both talk about
in a box somewhere, is he?
I can't say that we're recording. No, I think the cool thing is though, we actually met on my 4th day in the job. I was in a training. So every day of the first 2 weeks of working as an advisor, they had you with a different department. So I worked a day in the shop, I worked a day in parts. And this day, my 4th day, I was in the transportation department and the loan car manager asked me if I wanted to go to lunch. And I said, yeah, because I had moved to Fort Worth, had zero friends. I knew no one. I wanted to start fresh adult life after college. And so I said, yeah, let's go to lunch. And then she said that we were going to meet her husband and one of their friends. And I was great. The more the merrier. Cause I was work focused. That was all I really was paying attention to. And I got there and this guy volunteered to be my tour guide at Fort Worth and I took him up on it. And now 13 years later, I say that meaning that from his point of view, he's never known me in any other capacity.
Right.
And because of that, I think that that's actually how one of the more as core abilities we have to have made it work. Because it's not a question about, oh, you have to work bell to bell or you have to work a Saturday. I mean, that was just what it was. There was never another version of it. And then I think for me, I really love the fact that he's an entrepreneur. His parents were, it was something that was in his blood. So when we first started dating, he was not running his business at this point yet. But it was always something I knew was going to come. And so I think for me, we're kind of getting off topic, but very attracted to that competitive and that fire and that drive and that determination to continually be better. And he's always been that. And so we both kind of just recognize it is what it is, but we are trying to make sure that we take time for each other. So we're going to sneak away this weekend and get out of town for a little mini vacation.
Where are you going?
We're going to Tampa.
Ooh. Okay. All right.
Yeah. So I have a 20 group meeting at early next week. So I was already planning to go. And so he's going to go Saturday and Sunday with me before my meeting. Still work. There's a work aspect, but just get out of town, try to turn our brains off a little bit and you know, spend some time with each other. So
awesome. I love that. Allie, where can people reach you if they have questions, if they would like a mentorship, if they want to talk to you or learn more about you?
I would say LinkedIn is probably the easiest and best place to find me. I am not the best, as you experienced, with responding quickly on a message, but maybe that will be my hobby this year is to respond to messages fast. No, that's a bad hobby. That's just a LinkedIn is probably the best place to find me. So Allie Peters, as you see on the screen.
Awesome. Well, Allie, thank you so much for joining us today. We really, really appreciate you taking the time, especially for two chicks that you've never actually met before, just to randomly reach out to you and ask you to come on the show. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You've been amazing. This has been a great show. And we really do appreciate you just taking the time out of your day. I know you have a busy day today.
Thank you guys so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
You are so welcome. In a world where you can be anything, be kind, because you don't know what battles others are facing. So while out in the world this week, remember to light it up. I'm Jess.
I'm Shasta.
And that's Allie. And we've been the Chicks in Charge. Thank you so much for tuning in. Yay, you've made it this far. And if you want to help the chicks out and add some value, make sure you subscribe right now.
Click that little red button down below. Do it. Do it now.